came unto him, saying, Arise, get ye to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, Fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And as she said, As the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, Fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me therefore a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make it for thee and for thy son. But thus saith the Lord God of Israel, The barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal waste not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. And it came to pass, after these things, that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him.
That's okay. Thank you very much, Deacon Lenoir. Amen. We have read 1 Kings, chapter 17, verses 8 to 17.
Amen.
So we're going to have a word of prayer. We ask for you to stand just for a couple more seconds. Amen. As we pray, we ask everyone to stand as we pray. Amen. Everyone that can stand, to stand. That is. Amen. Young people, too. The baby. Amen. Let's bow our heads in the word of prayer. Let's close our eyes. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank you, Lord, right now, again, for the opportunity, God, to come to your throne room, Lord, to hear what the word of the Lord is for today. Lord, we ask, God, that you would bless all the hearers, touch them in a special way, move, oh God, in a special way, oh God. Lord, hide me, God, behind your cross, that I may speak words of encouragement and inspiration. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. And all of God's people said, Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may take your seats. Today I want to talk to you from the subject, generous living. Generous living. Nothing great is obtained easily. Nothing is easily gotten. If it appears to be easy, check the history, and you will find that there were struggles to get to that point. When you see the glamour and when you see the effortlessness, be sure that there were struggles involved. In addition, if it was obtained easily, check the history, and you will find that if there are no struggles and no sacrifice, that it will become a flash in the pan, never to be seen again. Why does life have to be so hard? One of the things that we say is that life is hard, but life is fair. Now, you might not agree with that, and you might look at it from a perspective and say, no, life isn't fair, but yeah, life is fair. And so it takes dedicated work to obtain the fruits of life. Ask anybody who has something, and ask them their story. You will find that they had to go through some lumps and some bumps to get there. It didn't come and drop into their hand. They didn't have a silver spoon in their mouth. But there was a time where they had to persevere and work hard to try to make it work. And likewise, generous living is a high mountain to climb. And it requires focus and dedication. Why is it so difficult? Well, being generous when you have a little of nothing to give means that you are giving a little of what you don't have. Among others, to go first when you're in a hurry. That's something else. You know, when you're in a hurry and you need somebody to get out your way. I don't know if you've ever been in a hurry, but I have been in a hurry, and I'd be like saying to myself, if they don't get out the way, just move.
Out my way.
But you know what? When you're living a generous life, you're not worried about people in your way. They will get out your way, and you'll be able to move and go to where you need to go. How about giving fruits of your hard labor to people?
Yes.
You know how hard it is to go to work every day.
Yes, I know.
Having issues at work.
Yes.
I mean, I didn't hear nobody saying nothing. Yes. Nobody else have issues at work. I do.
Yes.
Have issues at work. Things that you have to overcome. Challenges that you have to work through.
Yes, yes.
Then somebody needs something. And you think about all those hard hours you have worked.
Yes.
And you've given them fruit of your labor. Come on now, somebody say amen. And so, generous living requires obedience to God. That's my first point.
Yes.
One of the benefits of living generously is to be obedient to God.
Yes.
When you have little or you have abundance.
Yes.
God really blesses you when you have little and you give it to God. Look here in our text in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 8 through 16. That's what we're going to look at first of all. The widow had only enough meal for her and her son. They were preparing to eat it
and die.
And die. They want to die from starvation. I don't know about you. I know many of us have never been starving. We might have been very hungry. But starving means that you haven't eaten for a few days. I'm not talking about when you go on a fast. I'm talking about when you don't have no food and you want to eat.
Yes.
Starving. And they could not see any future food coming their way. So I just want to leave 2 points here for you, amen. And that is, you have to be obedient to the pathway that God has for you.
Amen.
Everybody has a journey that they have to travel. Your journey is not the same as my journey. And my journey is not the same as your journey. Your journey is put together, first of all, by God.
Yes.
God puts together your journey.
Amen.
Because there's things that are in you that God has to get out of you so that he can really bless you.
Yes.
So your journey is not the same as mine, because your issues aren't the same as my issues. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And so when you understand that God has a pathway for you to travel,
yes,
then you must take time to figure out what God wants to do in your life,
yes,
so that you can be in a place that you can be blessed.
Yes.
Now, when we talk about your pathway, it's a literal and a figurative word for you.
Yes.
The Bible says in Psalms 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet,
yes,
and a light unto my path. Literally, the woman was obedient in the direction that she was walking. She could have decided that she was not going to be at the gate today.
Amen.
Just said to herself, oh no, I'm not going to the gate, and missed her blessing.
Wow.
But she, amen, was obedient to God. The Bible says that the Lord says that he had a woman in place for Elijah.
Amen.
And when you think about that, then you have to understand that God already knew that she was an obedient woman. And if God knows that you are obedient, guess what? He puts you and lines you up in situations where God can bless you. When you make up in your mind that you're going to serve the Lord,
yes,
in fear and in trembling,
yes,
and not try to do it on your own way,
yes,
you can find a blessing.
Yes.
But what about figuratively? Well, figuratively, yes. You need to be obedient.
Amen.
Your whole heart, mind, soul, and strength,
yes,
needs to be according to the way of the Lord.
Yes.
According to what the Word of God says.
Yes.
When I say figuratively, I'm talking about the fact that your life, your entire life,
yes,
needs to be in alignment with God.
Amen.
So that when you have what God has desired for you, you know what? When the prophet approached her, she listened and followed the instructions.
Amen, amen.
Now look, many of us, we go to church and God speaks to us and we walk down the pathway, but when he says what you need to give up, we say, oh, well, I don't know about that.
Right, exactly.
What? I got to give up my last meal and oil to the prophet? What? He's got to eat first? And me and my son go hungry? Many of us would say, oh, no, prophet. Go find your own meal somewhere else. Look, they got Meals on Wheels down there. Go down to Franklin Park. They feeding people all the time down there. And so we have to be obedient to God. My second point is this. Generous giving requires exercising God's priorities. The prophet of God asked the woman to prepare the remaining meal into a cake,
yes,
and the last of her oil for that cake.
Yes.
The prophet did not say, let's share the cake.
Right.
The prophet didn't say, you take half,
right,
I take half.
Right.
He didn't say, wait a minute, your son can have a portion, you can have a portion, and I can have a portion. No, the man of God asked for the cake and give me the meal and the oil first.
Yes, he did.
I could imagine a woman, you know, you saw her response. Look, we don't have that much.
Right, exactly.
But look, prophet, you know, this is all we got. We was just going to, I was on my way now to find some sticks to make some cakes, and you know what? What we're going to do is eat that, and then we're going to die. Now you asking for my little bit of cakes and the oil that I was going to use? But you got to understand that when you live a generous life,
yes,
when you don't worry about who and what you have and what you need, but you do help answer the need that God has placed into your life,
yes,
then you will find a blessing.
Yes.
Okay? So, it looks like the woman and her son weren't going to eat. But the woman was a woman that honored God.
Yes.
Ah, I love that. How many of us honor the Lord? Amen. When we honor the Lord, amen, there's things that happen in our lives that we begin to say to ourselves, if it had not been for the Lord on my side, where would I be? I gave up my last, and my last became my first, and 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 my first. Bible says that she had priority by meeting God's business, in meeting the prophet's needs, who was on assignment by God. Not just the fact that he was just a man of God, but he was on assignment for God. Sometimes we don't know what the assignment is.
Come on now.
We don't know what people's assignment are. But you know what? If we are in the spirit, we can sense the assignment.
Yes.
Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with thy substance and with thy first fruits of all of thy increase.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting when we look at the phenomenon of honoring God with your substance, because your substance is everything. And honoring God with your first fruits, that is, as it comes in, you're giving to God what he has given to you. Now, the last time I preached, I talked about this phenomenon of not looking at my bills before I give. The Bible says that you should give as God has prospered you.
Yes.
Which means that I can't look at my bills and say I can only give this amount. Boy, when I started thinking about that, I had to increase my giving. Y'all might not know this, but I give online. I give online. Sometimes I give on Tuesdays. But I had to increase the amount that I was giving. I had to stop looking at my bills and trying to determine how much I could give God. I was giving my tithe. I was giving my tithes. I was given 1/10 of what I earned and a little more. Yes, I was. Actually, I was given a lot more than what my tithe was and my offering. But I was still looking at my bills. I said, you know what? I'm going to start giving more. I'm not going to worry about my bills. Because my bills will always be my bills. I will always have my bills. But God is eternal. And there's going to come a time when God is going to be the only thing left. And my bills will be gone. So I said, and guess what? My wife, she gives me her check to handle the bills as well. And I took it upon myself as the man of God of the house to increase hers as well. Not to say that my bills have decreased, but it is to say that I heard what the Lord said, and I plan to give more. And so, what does it take to honor God with your substance and honor Him with your first fruit? It requires discipline and being intent on living generously and being a cheerful giver. Oh no, I'm not mad about it. Because you know what? I said, Lord, I'm taking my hands off the account. If it goes into the negative, it's because you want it to be. And so I started giving. Now the woman's substance included more than just the meal and the oil. I believe she had a house. I believe she had some furniture. She had possessions. But the Lord didn't want her house. He didn't even ask for her possessions. He only asked for the meal and the oil. And sometimes, you know what? God knows how to zero in on that which you got to give up in order to get more. Bro! He asked her, wait a minute, sell your house. You know, the rich man, amen. God, Jesus told him to sell all he had and give to the poor. Yeah. No, Jesus, God didn't ask for that. He just asked for the oil and the meal. God has specific items that He needs from you.
Amen.
Specific things. Some of them are material. Some of them are things that you are holding on to.
Yes, yes.
The Bible says, let it go. Let it go so that it can come back to you. Amen. If you don't let it go, you won't be able to get it back. It will never grow back. And so, praise God, a lot of times it's not the same thing. Sometimes it asks for this, sometimes it asks for that, sometimes it asks for this or that and the other. But today it was the meal and the oil. Famine was in the land and food was not coming readily. And so God, through the prophet, asked her for food, knowing that she prioritized God.
Yes.
Business. Over her own business. Do we have anybody in the house today who decided that I'm going to allow God to be my priority and I'm my stuff? I'm going to let it be handled by God in the background. She met the test. And like Abraham, when he was preparing the sacrifice to kill Isaac, his only son, the one that he'd been praying for 15, 18 years. God told him to take him up into the mountain and sacrifice him. And when Abraham drew back to slice his head off, God said, no! See that you have prioritized me over yourself. There's a ram in the bush. And the Bible declares that Abraham called that place Jehovah Jireh, my provider. How many of us believe that God is your provider? How many of us have made up in our mind that no matter what, I'm going to believe in God, and I'm going to allow God to have preference over my stuff. Let me hasten to my last point. The benefits of generous living.
Yes.
Nothing can be attained if our fists are closed.
Right.
We can't get nothing if my fist is closed. I ain't hear nobody say nothing.
Yes.
When my fist is closed, nothing can enter into my hand. But when I open my hand, I can receive. Anybody interested in receiving? How many of us are willing to open our hands? How many of us are willing to say, God, I'm opening my hands so that I can receive?
Room at the table.
Amen.
Am I right about it?
Amen.
is that not only let us be men and women of grace, that is gracious language, identifying those who cross our path, whether good or evil, being gracious to them.
Yeah.
And being men and women of mercy. We know grace is God's unearned favor. Receiving those things that you don't deserve, and mercy is receiving, not receiving the things that we do deserve. We can be people of grace and mercy. But also be generous livers.
Yes.
Living generously.
Yes.
This is not old. I understand if you don't have $5, that's good. But living generously, it's not about how much money you give.
Right.
It's a mindset. It's a mentality.
Yes.
And when you have that mentality, God blesses you in ways and